Good afternoon, Tuesday. Man, this week is just flying by, isn't it? I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. I was just reading some of the comments on the Scoot on the Air Facebook page, and there's some comments about the call we had from one of our regular callers, Janice. I'll share some of these with you coming up. Also, the blog that I wrote, it's titled "Vote for Trump and Never Vote Again?" Question mark. That's posted on our website, WWL.com. It's still trending. And it's also on the SOTA Facebook page where you can go and comment, and you can also comment on the comments, and I'll share some of your comments coming up. But this hour, we are going to talk about the Olympics. We've got some calls to get to first. But first, let's get the results of the Tuesday text-off. So generally, we do an original and a cover, and we let the audience decide which is best. Sometimes the original is best, and sometimes the audience likes the cover better. Sometimes we also do songs, same name, but two completely different songs. And so this week we did the song Wild Thing, originally done by the Troggs in 1966, and Tone Loc did the other song called Wild Thing, which came out in 1988. Tone Loc won by 2 votes. So here is the winner. The winner was Song B, and I thank all of you for participating, and here's Tone Loc, came out in 1988. This was a big party song, summertime song, big club song when it came out. But it, you know, it's really interesting when they're, sometimes it's a blowout, you know, and the audience just hates one song and loves the other one. But in this case, of all the votes, Tone Loc won by 2 votes.
One person texted in and said, "Tone Loc, if I'm at the skating rink," which I got it. That put a smile on my face. That's okay. That's a real vibe.
Yeah. I grew
oh, sorry.
Up with...
I didn't mean to trigger you with the comment about the skating rink, because I know you have some skating rink. I know you have some skating rink scar tissue, and we don't have to talk about that. Just between you and me.
I fell.
It's okay.
But I fell in the practice area.
I'm gonna hold your hand while I say this. It's okay to fall down.
Thanks. I didn't even get on the. Well, you know, it was a microcosm in my life about how it's not about falling and fracturing your elbow. It's about getting up.
That's right. You might fall down twice in the practice area at the skating rink, but damn it, you get right back up again.
It's about getting up and then realizing that you should never put skates on again.
You're an inspiration to us all.
It's about getting up and moving on. Now, that's a damn painful thing, you know. Those skates just slip from right under me.
I'm sorry that happened to you.
Well, I mean, the dumb thing is I fell like 3 times. I mean, you think
say it more.
After the first fall, well, you know, you idiot, get off the skate. No, I kept trying, fell again, kept trying, hit the same elbow 3 freaking times trying to save myself, and I didn't fracture the elbow. So anyway, it's all good now. Look, I'm moving around. I'm good. Exercising.
All right, cool guy.
Life is good. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we'll talk about Joe Biden wanting to reform the Supreme Court in terms of term limits and in terms of accountability when it comes to getting free stuff. So we'll talk about that. Also, we'll have the latest on politics. We've got some calls to get to, but I want to talk about the Olympics this hour. What's your favorite sport? And are you watching? Do you care? And we'll talk about some of the original sports in the Olympics and some of the new sports. Do you think skateboarding belongs in the Olympics? What about breakdancing? These have become Olympic sports. What do you think the gods on Mount Olympus think about this? Well, we'll be talking about that. I'm Scoot. Glad you're with us. Let's go to Gregory and Metairie. Hey, Gregory, got time for a quick comment. Hello, Gregory. Okay, let's go to Mike in Mid-City. Hey, Mike, welcome to the show.
Oh, hey, Scoot. Man, I love y'all. Hey, thanks for what y'all do. The weird thing is that, I don't know, I just, I listen to some other stupid station sometimes, and I know, what's her name?
Well, don't Janice? Name any. Don't name any. Oh, Janice, our caller.
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
No, like Janice.
Okay.
Look,
that's
okay. I'm sorry. But look, I have a little, she's got a soft spot in my heart. For some reason, because she's 80 and she reminds me of my mama. And I really think that y'all are being quite mean to her. But let me move on to this one thing. E. Jean Carroll, she had no proof of anybody witnessing any Donald Trump thing, any video, any witnesses, anything. And then the weird thing is about with the men and the beards at the Paris Olympics. That's all stupid.
Wait, the men and the what? And beards?
At the Paris Olympics, all of that stuff. It's sacrilegious. Everything they've done in Paris is sacrilegious. Why do y'all not talk about that?
What's wrong with men in beards?
Men in beards dressed as women. It's making women. Y'all are desecrating the human female body that's so beautiful, and you're making it look like a...
Wait a minute. We gotta dump you on that. Mike, if you can't control yourself, we're not going to be able to have a conversation, Mike. Some of you might have heard that. I mean, if you're listening on the Odyssey app, I think you pretty much hear everything, so we apologize for that.
I don't understand why men with beards are going to...
Well, wait. First of all, Mike was getting hysterical over something that we talked about yesterday. It was in the opening ceremony. It was one bit in the opening ceremony. I know it was very offensive to a lot of people. I talked about how it was inappropriate. They shouldn't have done it. I don't know what they were thinking and why they did it that way. They could have done something else with drag queens, and, you know, I probably wouldn't have had a problem with it. But, you know, here Mike gets to the point where he's, dropping the F-bomb, and he can't control himself. And so then he's talking about men in beards, and it sounds like I didn't see anybody in the Olympics that has a beard other than some of the female shot putters. But, we'll talk about that later. He gets all hysterical. There's, you know, this is another problem with America. People see one little thing, and then they visit it on the whole thing. The Olympics are incredible. And I've been watching, and I've really enjoyed watching the Olympics. So now that we're done with that, I guess we can move on. Let me get to a couple of quick comments, since it's involving politics, from the Scoot on the Air Facebook page. Let me get to some of these comments. Yeah, some people were listening to Janice. It just went on live and started commenting. But the blog that I wrote, "Vote for Trump and Never Vote Again." ? A lot of comments to this. Mike says, you think this is meant to be a joke? Go read about Project 2025. No joke, folks. They're coming after our democracy. And there are a number of comments to that. Elaine comments, like the Democrats don't lie. Well, the Democrats, do lie, but Project 2025 is not a lie, but Ian's got some breaking news. We didn't break in with this a few minutes ago, but we just got this, and let's get this on now. But there's some breaking news about Project 2025. With all that we've said about Project 2025, why are they reacting? I mean, we've said a lot of things about how we should be concerned about what's in Project 2025, which would be implemented if Donald Trump wins the election. Why are they apparently responding to this?
I just got an alert from the Washington Post on my phone. They say Project 2025 is winding down its policy operations, and its director, former Trump administration personnel official Paul Dance, again, the director of Project 2025, worked in the Trump White House. He's off. He's out. He's quitting. He's departing. And the Heritage Foundation also has distributed new talking points encouraging participants to emphasize that the project does not speak for Trump. The former president has repeatedly distanced himself from Project 2025. Senior Trump advisor Susie Wiles reportedly called the Heritage Foundation, instructing them to stop promoting Project 2025 because the Trump campaign wanted to disavow the project. Trump started saying so in his own social media posts. And now they're saying that anybody involved in Project 2025 will be barred from employment in a second Trump administration.
Well, that seems like a big change.
That's a huge change. That's a sea change, as they call it.
So why are they changing? There must be some truth in what we've been talking about.
Yeah.
There must be some truth to the concern that many people have over Project 2025. Now, this doesn't mean that it's not going to go into effect if Trump wins.
No.
But it means that they realize the strategy here is, hey, shut up about Project 2025.
Stop talking about it.
We've got to keep this a damn secret.
Yes.
Don't talk about the good. Don't talk about it. Just shut up about it. Because, you know, if Trump wins, we'll get it in there. We'll do it. But don't talk about it because it's going to cause people to not vote for Trump. So in other words, if what I have been talking about with Project 2025 is bogus, if it's not true, if my concerns are not real, then why are they changing? Why is Project 2025 changing? They're changing because it's scary AF. Because there's stuff in there that is really frightening in terms of changing our democracy. And they don't want that to be part of the campaign because they think that the more people know about Project 2025, the fewer people are going to vote for Trump.
Here's the way I'm kind of trying to contextualize this right now is that you sometimes hear that, like, what's the right way to put this? Trump is not the cause of the problems in the Republican Party. He's a symptom of them, right? You have the Republican establishment lying about what they're going to do, making promises they can't keep for the last 20 or 30 years. Then somebody comes in at the last minute, at the 5-yard line, and steals the football and says the quiet part out loud. And Republican voters love him for it because they sense appropriately that they have been used, that they have been lied to and abused and discarded by the DC establishment. So now Trump has the football and he wants to be the one who's controlling the narrative. But then the Heritage Foundation, which is the DC establishment, says, oh, we can take the power back here if we say the quiet part out loud. So now what this shows me is that there's now a sort of new front opening in the battle between the MAGA movement and the DC establishment. That's what this fault line is here, because the Heritage Foundation thought, hey, we can sneak this in a second Trump campaign and get what we want, whether or not it's what actually Trump wants. This is what we deign the American people will get.
Boy, and what really fit into the whole concept of Project 2025 was that Supreme Court ruling that a president is essentially free to do what he or one day she wants to do, because they're basically immune for prosecution. Mm-hmm. They have immunity, basic immunity, when it comes to doing what they do. Now, obviously, they can't, you know, order the killing of an American citizen, I would assume, but they pretty much have immunity, and that kind of goes along with the spirit of Project 2025.
Curiouser and curiouser.
Yeah, all right, here are a couple of comments. So this is about the blog that I wrote about Trump and Never Vote Again. Arlinda says, it worries me what he is planning that they won't have to vote anymore. That worries me. It's scary. It's really scary. Christopher says, Scoot, he's talking about the people who are normally too lazy to get up and vote or want to rely on mail-in ballots. He's saying, get out the vote this time and make sure your vote is counted so I can win and I can fix this mess that Biden and Harris have left us. But he said you won't have to vote again, like period, like you would never have to vote again. The only reason you would never have to vote again is if there are no more elections. Toby says, the pretty little finger is itching to cast the vote for President Trump. Here is a comment from Todd. Scoop is a left-wing radical. Oh, yeah, I'm a left-wing radical. Yeah, I stand for all those real progressive issues. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, it was on this day in 1986, the showbiz newspaper Variety reported that RCA Records was dumping John Denver from its roster. After John Denver released his single, What Are We Making Weapons For? I remember this song. He was asking kind of a rhetorical question, what are we making weapons for? If we're supposed to live in a peaceful world, why are we making these big weapons? Well, Variety magazine reported that the song really pissed off the new owners of RCA, which is General Electric. And General Electric has one of the largest defense contracts, at least at the time, for the United States. And so General Electric didn't like the idea that we're talking about, well, why are we making weapons? Or that John Denver was talking about, why are we making weapons? Well, I mean, I know why we make weapons, but anyway, John Denver didn't understand it. General Electric sold RCA 2 months later. I guess they realized that there would be other artists like John Denver that would be doing things that would be contrary to being one of the largest defense contractors in the U.S. We'll listen to a few of these lyrics. And we're going to talk about skateboarding as an Olympic sport, breakdancing as an Olympic sport, and the Olympics coming up next. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. The women's gymnastics team has won gold in Paris at the Olympics. And last night, I watched, I'm sure it was a replay last night, But I watched the men's team break the trend of not winning medals, and they won bronze. The men's team won bronze last night. And did you love the guy with the glasses? He's being compared to like Clark Kent and Superman. Here's this guy who looks like a nerd. I mean, he's got his, like, you know, jacket on, and he doesn't look like he's even built. But if you're in men's gymnastics, I mean, you're built. You've got tremendous upper body strength. And Stephen Nedorosky, is that how you pronounce it? Nedorosik, I think that's how you pronounce it, Nedorosik. He's the guy with the glasses, and he looks like this little computer nerd who's sitting on the bench. His only event is the pummel horse. And so, like, the team had done their job, and then it's his turn. And he nailed it. And his performance led to the team winning bronze medals. And it was really exciting to watch that. I mean, I've really gotten into the Olympics, but it's really been fun to watch and to hear about the personalities, the people, and you hear about their lives and their challenges. And NBC has done a really great job with presenting the Olympics. I love that Snoop Dogg is involved, and you know, he's just been such a cool factor on that whole set. Lindsay Jones? The comedian, Lindsay Jones, Lindsay Jones? She's hysterical, and she's doing Olympic coverage as well. But this guy, Stephen Nedorosik, it was just like this little meek person. Then he takes off the jacket, and the guy's like got upper body strength. I mean, he's built. And he hit that pummel horse, and he was perfect enough. I mean, he was like, in his own right, he was perfect. He was just focusing and concentrating, and he did it. And it's been fun to watch that. Are you watching the Olympics? Do you have a favorite sport? Now, they haven't even gotten to track and field yet, but a lot of swimming, a lot of gymnastics. There was the equestrian stuff that was on last night as well. Badminton. Do you remember when you were a kid and you were on a picnic, and I remember going out to the lakefront and we'd have a picnic and my dad would set up the badminton net? And, you know, you'd play badminton. Did we really play badminton? No. I mean, it was hard. Well, you know, if you took the badminton, if you took the is it the birdie? Is that what they call it, the birdie? If you take the birdie or whatever it is, and you hit it over the net, maybe somebody on the other side hit it back. But you didn't hit it back. I mean, there's no volleying going on in badminton when you're kids, but you see the way they play it on the Olympic level. And it's incredible. So, you know, I've had fun watching the Olympics. But when it comes to some of the sports like skateboarding, do you think skateboarding is an Olympic sport? First of all, before we talk about the new sports, let's go back to the ancient Olympic Games. It was originally a one-day event until 684 BC. God, this is how old the Olympics are. It was a one-day event until 684 BC. They extended it to 3 days. In the 5th century BC, the games were extended to cover a five-day period. The ancient Greeks participated in running, long jump, shot put, javelin, boxing, prankration, and equestrian events. So what is prankration? P-A-N-K-R-A-T-I-O-N, prankration. Have you heard of this, Ian? I mean, I had never heard of this until I did a little research on prankration.
It's all Greek to me.
It's an ancient Greek sport. It combines boxing and wrestling, and it was basically fisticuffs. And the Spartans were involved, and it was like savage. They were hitting and kicking and twisting limbs, and there was strangling going on, struggling to get somebody down on the ground. Occasionally, there were biting and gouging. Now, those were illegal. Those were penalties, but it still happened. And sometimes the event would end, and somebody was dead. So,
and Project 2025 stuff. Wants to do away with all of it.
That's right.
I thought this was America. Damn it! What's say the name of it again? What's it called? Prank what?
Prankration.
Prankration.
Yeah, Prankration.
Wow.
Prankration.
Hot.
Yeah. Now, there are some new sports at the Paris Olympics 2024. Now, a couple of these were in past Olympics, but they're relatively new sports. Climbing, skateboarding, and surfing. And Colin Jost from A Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live, Colin Jost has the best job there. The guy's in Tahiti. Now, you know, I mean, I tried surfing a little bit. I got up on a board briefly. But, you know, I mean, I wanted to be a surfer when I was a kid because I thought that was just such a cool thing to do. And the Beach Boys were really popular at the time. And, you know, that whole surfing thing and the beach movies, the beach muscle beach bingo movies were popular with Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello. And I just thought being a surfer was the coolest thing you could be. So never lived in a place to really spend any time learning that for long. But anyway, the waves in Tahiti, my God, they're like perfect. And Colin Jost was, I mean, he's a surfer. I mean, not a competitive surfer, but man, I saw him up on a wave and I was really impressed. And you're supposed to wear like some kind of footing because he wasn't paying attention and his toes raked against the coral reef and he got kind of busted up. So his toes are all bandaged up. But the surfing, this is I think only the second time it was featured the last time in the 2020 games in Tokyo. So of the new games, and one of the new games is breaking. First of all, do you think skateboarding belongs in the Olympics? If you want to join us with a comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Does skateboarding belong in the Olympics? What about surfing? What about breaking? Breaking is going to appear at the Olympics for the first time this year, 2024. It's a form of urban break dancing originating in the United States in the 70s. Incorrectly called break dancing, but it's really originally called breaking. Now, it is one of the most acrobatic types of dance. The agility that it takes, the strength that it takes to break dance. You know, I mean, honestly, I think break dancing is an Olympic sport. I don't think it's happened yet, but there have been some conversations about pole dancing being an Olympic sport. And if you see what some of those girls do on those poles, it's pretty amazing. It's really amazing. And so, I don't know, maybe that should be an Olympic sport as well. Sport climbing, skateboarding, surfing, and breaking. Do these games belong in the Olympics? I think they do. But you may have a different opinion, or you may agree with me. If you want to join the show with your comment, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Let's go to Ian with a couple of your text messages.
Here's a text message that says, "Don't you badmouth badminton. I haven't played in like 40 years, but that is a legit sport. I had a net in my backyard as a kid, and my 10-year-old self could kick some badminton ass."
Hey, look, that's cool. I'm just sharing my personal experience with badminton. And when I watch the Olympians do it, it looks pretty impressive. And so if you did it, I'm impressed that you did it. But I'm just giving you my personal experience. And I could hit it over the net once, but it's not like I was going to volley the little birdie.
Yeah, here's the text that says it's called a shuttlecock.
A shuttlecock.
That's what it says.
Okay.
And I think that's
right.
Well,
what's a birdie? Something's a birdie.
I don't know. Isn't that something you get in golf?
Well, that's when you're one under par.
Yeah.
But I think there's something else that's called a birdie.
I don't know.
All right, anyway.
Here's a text that says, I'm sure not here. It starts here. "I can't imagine how all the small-minded, self-righteous Americans would react to everyday normal life in Europe. I'm sure not hearing anything about any Europeans who are appalled by the last summer supposed depiction."
The last summer?
Supper.
Oh, the last supper.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I you know, that's true. And, you know, I thought it was in poor taste, and I don't think they should have done it, but I'm not freaking out over it. And it wasn't very long. And you know, but people in America are looking for things to freak out over. Christians, not all Christians, but some Christians are looking for reasons to believe that they're under attack because there's power in victimization. So they want to be the poor victims when, you know, I just don't think it was anything to freak out over.
Here's a text that says, no, we will not watch the Olympics. After the opening ceremony, my kids were like, what is that, Dad? And I wanted to say a bunch of F-word slurs. Nice. But I didn't, and we will not watch the Olympics.
Well, why didn't you just explain that? Yeah, you know, it's just kind of a it's a stupid thing where they've got all these people dressed up in costumes. I mean, that would be, for a parent, that's like a really simple answer to a question. And I'm concerned about parents that don't know how to answer questions to their kids.
They're French. That's all you have to say.
Yes.
I'm glad that you stopped yourself from using a homophobic slur at your children when they're asking about something on TV. One gold star for you. But if I'm curious to know what you did answer that question with, because it's pretty easy to just say, well, you know, it's a different country and they have different ideas about what's acceptable and what's fun to watch. And after this, we don't have to see it in our lives.
They dress
lives
up in costumes. You know,
it's a costume.
It's a one-time event.
Man, people are sensitive. Here's a text that says, that's the same one I just read. Look, we talked a little bit about, this is kind of a topic change, but we got to go to break in a minute, and I wanted to get this in. Talking last hour about the sort of conspiracy theories that somehow the Trump assassination attempt was staged or there's unanswered questions about it. Here's a great text that says, there's something called the Swiss cheese model, an error prevention. All systems fail, even those with multiple layers of redundancy. We use this to investigate errors in the medical field. This was clearly a case of multiple system failures. It is always worse in hindsight because we can see what led to the failures. If the FBI or others wanted Trump dead, they wouldn't do it at a rally with a 20-year-old loner on a roof with no military or law enforcement training.
Boy, that's a good point. I mean, if the FBI wanted Trump dead, he'd be dead. You know, that's a really good point. You know, when we talk about you talk about France, and you know, you realize that if the United States had not done what it did in World War II, they would be speaking German in France right now. It'd be the French game. I mean, it would be the German games. But because of what happened during World War II, and this is all it totally explained and on display at the World War II Museum, it's just a great opportunity to learn about history. And about the U.S. military. And the National World War II Museum in New Orleans, number one attraction here, one of the top attractions in the world. July, and July's coming to an end. This is Louisiana Residence Month. So if you have an ID, a state-issued ID, you can get in for half-off general admission tickets at the museum. Or go to our website, wwl.com/contest, to register to win a family pack of four tickets. Experience the story of America and the reason it's the French game, it's the Olympic Games in France and not Germany, by visiting the World War II Museum. And that comes from the World War II Museum and WWL. We'll dedicate this song to the women's gymnastic team. They indeed are the champions, winning gold at the Olympics. I'm Scoot, and we will be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1956, Brenda Lee recorded her first single, Jambalaya on the Bayou. Listen to this song. She was 11 years old when she recorded this song. Wow. All right, I'm Scoot. Tuesday afternoon, let's go to Mandeville. Tyler, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going, man?
Good.
I'm actually a first-time caller.
Wow, cool. Well, let's let's give you some special treatment here, Tyler. I appreciate you taking time to call in. So what has you calling in today?
So I want to just call about the whole, you know, Olympic depiction of the First Supper.
Yeah.
And I was born and raised in New Orleans, and I was born and raised Catholic. But, the kind of problem that I have with it is everybody's taking offense to it so heavily. Because to me, my faith has changed a little bit, and I would pretty much consider myself an atheist now.
Really?
And to me, yes. Over the time with everything that's happened with the Catholic Church, and discoveries I've made on my own, I've just chosen that way, that part of my life now.
Interesting.
It's just kind of hard for me to see why. I mean, I could see why everybody's getting offended, but to me, the picture is just a drawing that, you know, somebody painted. It's not, if somebody considers it biblical canon, I could see how it could be offensive then, but that's not an actual depiction of the First Supper. It's not like somebody was sitting there painting this or, you know, took a picture of Jesus and, you know, all his disciples at that First Supper. It's someone's depiction of him. So we don't actually know what the First Supper or Last Supper looked like.
Correct.
So to me, I don't understand how, I mean, I can understand how people are getting offended, but I just, that's how I see it.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, and I just wouldn't, you know, for those who are instinctively offended by it, I would, it's okay to be offended by it, but I would
yes,
step back and I would step back and just think about what it means. It doesn't mean anything. This is not going to cause people to just leave Catholicism or leave Christianity. And if you would leave Christianity because of that, I would suggest that your faith isn't very strong in the first place.
Right. And I mean, my whole point is just we just don't know what the Last Supper was, what actually happened. And, you know, we always see Jesus as, you know, what somebody painted him as. We don't actually know. If where we believe Jesus came from, he actually could have been not a white guy.
He was probably, there's little evidence that he would have been a white guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, that's just where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And it seems that a lot of people in this city, and I just have a lot of family that I'm debating it over with, you know, they see it as being offended, and I just can't see it. We don't know what happened. And that's just a point that I wanted to just bring to the table.
Tyler, I appreciate the call, and thanks for being an FTC, and call us anytime. But yeah, I mean, if you step back and if you think about the result, again, people are looking for something to be angry about today, and they get angry about something and they hold on to it, and they bash the entire Olympics, all of these, the effort of all of these athletes is ruined because of the way some people view that opening moment within the context of the whole opening ceremony. Don't get that upset about it, because the result is it's not going to change anything. That's not going to change one damn thing. And if anybody decides, because of that, you're going to, like, no longer be a Christian? I mean, again, what is the fear there? What could possibly happen? Somebody, like, decides not to be a Christian? Well, you know, you're not much of a Christian if that's all it took to divorce you from Christianity. So, you know, you can get upset, but it's not going to manifest any negative results. It's just something that happened. All right, I'm Scoo. We got to get to a break here. We're coming back with more. All right, on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, this day in 1982, the Ron Howard comedy Night Shift, starring Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton, opened up in theaters. On the soundtrack, there was this song, That's What Friends Are For, performed by Rod Stewart. We know it when it was performed by Dionne Warwick, Elton John, Gladys Knight, and Stevie Wonder, Dionne Warwick and Friends. But Rod Stewart did the soundtrack for the movie Night Shift. We'll be back on WWL. Okay, I found out that Shuttlecock and Birdie are the same things when it comes to a bad midnight. Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby, Mike, and Steve Geller. They'll have a lot to talk about. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. Join Sports Talk, Nick, and we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, on this day in 1956, Brenda Lee recorded her first single, Jambalaya on the Bayou. Listen to this song. She was 11 years old when she recorded this song. Wow. All right, I'm Scoot. Tuesday afternoon, let's go to Mandeville. Tyler, welcome to WWL.
Hey, Scoot. How's it going, man?
Good.
I'm actually a first-time caller.
Wow, cool. Well, let's give you some special treatment here, Tyler. I appreciate you taking time to call in. So what has you calling in today?
So I want to just call about the whole, you know, Olympic depiction of the First Supper.
Yeah.
And I was born and raised in New Orleans, and I was born and raised Catholic. But the kind of problem that I have with it is everybody's taking offense to it so heavily. Because to me, my faith has changed a little bit. And I would pretty much consider myself an atheist now.
Really?
And to me, yes. Over the time, with everything that's happened with the Catholic Church, and discoveries I've made on my own, I've just chosen that way, that part of my life now.
Interesting.
So, but to me, Yes. So to me, it's just kind of hard for me to see why. I mean, I could see why everybody's getting offended, but to me, the picture is just a drawing that, you know, somebody painted. It's not, if somebody considers it biblical canon, I could see how it could be offensive then, mm-hmm. but that's not an actual depiction of the First Supper. It's not like somebody was sitting there painting this or, you know, took a picture of Jesus and, you know, all his disciples at that First Supper. It's someone's depiction of it. So we don't actually know what the First Supper or Last Supper looked like.
Correct.
So to me, I don't understand how, I mean, I can understand how people are getting offended, but I just, that's how I see it.
Yeah, so, you know, I mean, and I just wouldn't, you know, for those who are instinctively offended by it, I would, it's okay to be offended by it, but I would
yes,
step back
I would
step back and just think about what it means. It doesn't mean anything. This is not going to cause people to just leave Catholicism or leave Christianity. And if you would leave Christianity because of that, I would suggest that your faith isn't very strong in the first place.
Right. And I mean, my whole point is just we just don't know what the Last Supper was, what actually happened. And, you know, we always see Jesus as, you know, what somebody painted him as. We don't actually know. If where we believe Jesus came from, he actually could have been not a white guy.
He was probably,
brown, you know,
there's little evidence that he would have been a white guy.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm just, that's just where I'm coming from.
Yeah.
And it seems that a lot of people in this city, and I just have a lot of family that I'm debating it over with, you know, they see it as being offended, and I just can't see it. We don't know what happened. And that's just a point that I wanted to just bring to the table.
Tyler, I appreciate the call, and thanks for being an FTC, and call us anytime. But yeah, I mean, if you step back and if you think about the result, you know, again, people are looking for something to be angry about today, and they get angry about something and they hold on to it, and they bash the entire Olympics, all of these, the effort of all of these athletes is ruined because of the way some people view that opening moment within the context of the whole opening ceremony. Don't get that upset about it, because the result is it's not going to change anything. That's not going to change one damn thing. And if anybody decides, because of that, you're going to, like, no longer be a Christian? I mean, again, what is the fear there? What could possibly happen? Somebody, like, decides not to be a Christian? Well, you know, you're not much of a Christian if that's all it took to divorce you from Christianity. So, you know, you can get upset, but it's not going to manifest any negative results. It's just something that happened. All right, I'm Scoo. We got to get to a break here. We're coming back with more. All right, on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, this day in 1982, the Ron Howard comedy Night Shift, starring Henry Winkler and Michael Keaton, opened up in theaters. On the soundtrack, there was this song, That's What Friends Are For, performed by Rod Stewart. We know it when it was performed by Dionne Warwick, Elton John, Gladys Knight, and Stevie Wonder, Dionne Warwick and Friends. But Rod Stewart did the soundtrack for the movie Night Shift. We'll be back on WWL. Okay, I found out that Shuttlecock and Birdie are the same things when it comes to a bad midnight. Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby, Mike, and Steve Geller. They'll have a lot to talk about. I want to thank Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, market manager Dan Barron, news anchor Chris Miller, traffic with Joe Cardosi. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. Join Sports Talk next, and we'll have a lot to talk about tomorrow afternoon. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.